Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. I want to answer your question with a question. Isn't it intriguing that for decades we've had principles guiding the conduct of states in times of war? We had humanitarian principles, but we had no principles for peace for decades, which frankly left this field in a way without a common framework for action, without a common frame of reference, without a benchmark for progress. So if we're doing the same thing again and again and expecting different results, there's no way to call it out. And that's why the Principles for Peace came to life as an effort of a coalition of over 120 organizations, as an effort of an international commission that brings together from the president of Guatemala to mediators from the Philippines, across the African continent, across Europe, force commanders, different ministers, but very importantly anchored in a global consultation process and lived experience. Why principles? Because we are living one of the least peaceful moments in modern history. Conflict is costing our global economy 17%. We are more fragmented at the time when we are more interdependent and interconnected. We are more polarized. Our international system is struggling. And on average, peace processes last 5 to 7 years before they break down. So the whole notion behind the process of coming up with a set of principles that can serve as a guide, can be part of the calculus of decision makers, can be a framework that can help us make key decisions better, but also can serve as an accountability tool that we're learning from the past, was seen as very important to meet this era of complexity and polycrisis. So 8 principles for peace. The first two address the foundations for peace, which we know there is no peace without security. But security needs to be accountable. It needs to account for protection of civilians. It needs to ensure that security builds trust between the security apparatus and the population. And it ensures that security is also provisioned as a public good. The second important principle, which is also a foundation for peace, is enhancing legitimacy, because we know that peace often breaks down because of a legitimacy deficit. And legitimacy is founded in tangible peace dividends, that peace is felt. Then 3 operational principles that are meant to guide how we practice peacemaking are the principle of pluralism, that more than inclusion is needed. It's also not seeing diversity as a threat. It's looking how do we wire pluralism in the hardware and software of society. The principle of subsidiarity, as local as possible, as global as only necessary, recognizing the primacy of local leadership. And the principle of hybridity, or embracing hybrid solutions, a recognition that history, culture, and context matter. So we need sometimes to embrace formal and informal forms of justice. We need to embrace different models of governance in the quest of countries to sustain its peace. And then to anchor our peacemaking effort in 3 core values that engender trust. And those are the principle of dignity, which needs to be the ultimate outcome of a process. And it's at the heart of struggles of many populations for self-determination, for dignity. The principle of humility, that we need to have a lot more humility as international actors in supporting national peacemaking effort, to see our role as midwives rather than architects of peace processes. And finally, the principle of solidarity, for we are more interconnected and interdependent than ever. And we've seen that in COVID. We see it now as we look around the world, in populations speaking out when something happens on the other side of the ocean. So these are the 8 principles for peace that are meant to embody a new approach to help to guide us to a path to lasting peace.